Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
In reverence to the reading of God's Word, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, look in verse number 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples. Now, what is he talking about? A lot of times preachers will say this, you that knows the Word of God knows what he's talking about right there. Well, the problem with that probably, and I don't mean this ugly, but probably 98% of the people sitting here today don't have a clue what he's talking about right there. If you'll study the context, he's talking about the children of Israel. In chapter number 10, he begins talking about the children of Israel and what God done for the children of Israel, how God blessed them, how God brought them out of Egypt, how God used a cloud to lead them, how a rock followed them around. Boy, that's interesting, isn't it? Amen. And God met their needs. So he says, these things happen unto them for an example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. In other words, that admonition, he says, these things are written for you to get help from it, so you can learn from that. Goes on to say this in verse number 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. When you look at the children of Israel, man, you look at what God done for them. You think about that cloud that followed or led them, didn't follow, but led them around. You think about that rock that God brought water from to meet their needs. My soul, man, what God done for them. But you know, there comes a time in our life where we've seen God do so much, and sometimes this little word pride comes into our life. And we think, well, we've seen this, and you know what? It would be, let's just be real with each other. It would be real easy on the first Sunday of 2025 to look back over 2024 and get prideful at what God done at Amazing Grace Baptist Church last year. You can say amen or oh me, but the truth of the matter is that's the truth. As a pastor, it would be very easy to become prideful at what God's doing around here. And God says, hey, you better look back at what happened to them. What happened to the children of Israel? God did bless them, but what did they do? They failed, man. Look what he said in verse number 13. A lot of times we just go to verse 13 and never look back and the context of it. He said this, there hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, let me say something, and then I'm going to preach to you. People take this verse out of context all the time. Here's what they say. Please don't get mad at me the first Sunday in 2025. But they take this verse and they say this, God will never put more on me than I'll be able to bear. That's not what that verse said. That's nowhere close to what that verse said. That ain't even in the context of the verse. The context of the verse is temptation. It's temptation. And God is saying this, there's no temptation that comes to you that's so great that I can't help you escape that temptation. If there was never a time that there was more on us than we could bear, why did he say, take my yoke upon you? Why does he come alongside? Why do we have a paraclete? Why do we have a helper? There is times in our life, church, that the going gets too tough for us to bear. But thank God we've got the Holy Ghost that comes alongside of us and helps us bear the load. So in the context, he's dealing with temptation is what he's dealing with. And I want to talk to you a little while this morning about overcoming temptation in 2025. How can we overcome temptation? Father, I love you. I pray that you help us today. Lord, may your will and way be done. Meet our physical need this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that you meet our spiritual need. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. to really understand what he is talking about. And I'm headed here to chapter number 10. But let me just give you a quick rundown of the book of Corinthians. Of course, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. And whenever you find this church and you look at this church, here's some things that you'll find out about the church of Corinth. The church of Corinth was a defiled church. The church was a divided church. And the church was a disgraced church. Yes, it was a church, but it was not a church going in the right direction, if you want to look at it that way. When you think about it being a divided church, you can go to verse number 10 and 11 and 12 and see where he's talking about that. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Look, we're not of Paul, we're not of a Cephas, we're not of Apollos, but let me tell you who we are of. We are of Christ. The church is divided four ways at Corinth. Now, whenever you look at the day and what is going on in the life of the Corinthians here and at the church of Corinth, let me just show you a little bit by way of introduction of what's happening. Why is he telling this church at Corinth to not be overtaken by temptation? Well, evidently they are dealing with temptation. What was the days like in the days there, let's just say it this way, at the First Baptist Church of Corinth? What are they facing? What are they going through? What is it like during that time? Well, let me give you a little bit about what it's like. Romans said this in chapter number 1 in verse number 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. You know what they're doing? They're taking the grace of God and turning it into lasciviousness, if you want to look at it that way. They're turning what God has done and how God has been good to them. The Bible said they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. And I just want to say this in passing this morning. I'm not gonna preach an hour on this, but we're living in a day where they are changing an incorruptible God, the glory of God. Men is taking that glory away from him and trying to put it on their self. We're living in a day where there is more self-promotion in preachers than I've ever seen in my life. It makes me sick. Can I just say that I probably ought to hush, but nowhere in the Bible do you find that it was the Apostle Paul Ministries. He was part of a church. He worked out of a church, and it was all the local church. And when we get away from the church, you can say amen or oh me right there. We're in trouble when we get away from the church. It was a day where they was living in a self-glory. They was taking the glory away from God and putting it on their self. When you read on in Romans chapter number 1, you find that women begin to lay with women and men began to lay with men. They took the natural love and turned it into an unnatural love. Matter of fact, he said this in verse number 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but those who have pleasure in them. You said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this, they're living in a corruptible time, man. They're living, when you read Romans chapter number 1, what I just read to you, does it not sound like our day today? It sounds like reading some something in America. And here's what he says to the church of Corinth. I know you're in a bunch of wickedness. I understand there's a bunch of wickedness around you. And you are going to be tempted to do wicked, so I will help you overcome it. Now, the truth of the matter is this. In 2025, we're going to be tempted. Can I just say something to you this morning? Temptation in and of itself is not a sin. It's when you give in to temptation, it becomes sin. Are you with me today? It within itself is not sin, but when we give in to it, it is. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 says this, that in verse number 13, that God will make a way to escape. There is a way of escape. Whenever you study this out, it's ekbasis in the Greek. It's one word, and it means an exit or a way out of something. It is used to describe a way out of the mountain or a way out of something. It is used to describe a way out of a mountain pass. This idea is of an army apparently surrounded by its enemy, and suddenly it sees a way of escape, and it takes that. I want to say this to you this morning. We are surrounded by our enemy today. The devil is the prince and the power of the air. The devil wants to destroy us today. But we must understand that God makes a way of escape for us. I thought about this. The secret to resisting temptation is to recognize the source of the temptation. Where does temptation come from? I'll preach in just a minute. Watch this. The Bible said this in James 1. He said, let no man say when I am tempted of God. Neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted. Every man is tempted. And we are. He tells us how. But every man is tempted. Watch this. When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. What does he say about temptation? Temptation is not of God. You say, well, preacher, you know, the providential hand of God led me into this temptation. You're wrong, man. God will never lead you into temptation. What does he say? Man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. When he is drawn away of his own lust. God promises to give his people the strength to resist. The man who has the most temptation, hear me, has the most chance of growing in grace. Every temptation can drive us closer to God and give him a chance to confirm and demonstrate his victory over sin. What the devil designed for the destruction of the soul, God uses for our development. What Satan uses for our pollution, the Lord uses for our perfection. The moral struggles that we face make us more mature. Ruin us if we compromise. It's up to you and I whether or not we become slaves to sin or whether we allow God to rescue us from the temptation. Here's what the Bible said. It said this in Proverbs chapter number 4. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of the evil man. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Let me tell you the reason a lot of people deal with a lot of temptation, because they don't turn away from it. They don't avoid it. I'll just give you an illustration. If I know that Brother Josh is going to take me down the wrong path to destruction, if I know that and I continually follow after him, that's not God. That's me being drawn away of my own flesh. God makes a way of escape every time. He said, don't go that way. We will be tempted to do wrong, and we'll be tempted on a daily basis to do wrong. There's no way to avoid temptation completely. However, I believe that there is a way to reduce the temptation that we face. You say, preacher, how do you get that? Well, listen to what the Bible said. I'm headed somewhere. Listen to what the Bible said in Matthew chapter number 6. He said, is it all right to use the Bible this morning? Here's what he said in his prayer in Matthew chapter number 6. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from it. I want to ask you a question today. When you prayed this morning, if you prayed, I hope you did. When you prayed this morning, did you pray in your prayer, God, lead me not into temptation today, but deliver me from evil? Can I just give you a challenge in 2025? Every morning when you pray, pray that right there in your prayer. Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. If I sincerely make this my prayer request before God, I'm saying I am also going to do my part. I'm not going to go around the people or the places that I know will cause me to face a greater temptation. Let me tell you the reason some people face so much temptation, have such a problem with temptation. They like it. I just say that again. They like it. They like it. Some love pornography so much that it doesn't take much to get them to be looking at a pornographic website. Some love adultery and fornication so much that it doesn't take that much for them to be immoral. Some love gossip so much that it doesn't take them long to be caught up in the middle of gossip. Some love hunting, fishing, and sports so much that it doesn't take much to make these things their God. Some love alcohol so much that it doesn't take much for them to be a drunk and to live that life and to find themselves out of the house of God, out of the will of God. Why? Because they love the temptation. Can I just give this to you? And I'll preach to you in just a second, but can I just give this to you? I say this. A lot of people find themselves in a mess because they love the mess that they're in. I thought about this. You know what people say sometimes, and now stay with me. I promise you, I'm headed somewhere. Well, preacher, I can drink two or three beers, and it'll never bother me, and I'll be all right. And what did the Bible say? Pride goeth before destruction. The heart of spirit before the fall. Everybody all right right there this morning? It's getting a little bit tight on alcohol. I ain't preached on alcohol in a while. Maybe I need to just bog in for about an hour on that. Woe unto man puts strong drink to his neighbor's mouth. God never put a go where God put a woe. Can I get an amen right there? Every bit of it's wrong. I hate every bit of it. Wine, beer, whiskey, liquor, all of it, it's out of hell. It's busting homes up. It's busting marriages up. It's taking people out of the house of God. You might as well holler amen because you know I'm right. There's kids laying in a hospital room somewhere today because of some drunk driver, and he said this at one time, all I'm going to do is drink one or two, and before you know it, look at where he's at today. Temptation. 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 You say, preacher, you know, I'm having a pretty good time right now. Well, you will. The Bible said there's pleasure in sin for a season. For a season. It will be fun for a little while. We don't hear that preached anymore. There's pleasure in sin. But that season will come to an end. The spring will come. The summer will come. But I promise you one day fall and winter will come to that, and you'll find yourself in a mess. Temptation. Temptation. I want to give you a little thought this morning on this. How do I overcome temptation? How do I deal with this? We all are faced, whether it's, stay with me this morning, whether it's alcohol, whether it's gossip. And you know, I find this interesting. God said in the book of Proverbs, these six things does God hate. Yea, seven is an abomination. What was the seventh one? He that soweth discord among the brethren. You know, we want to talk about all these other sins and classify all these other sins. Sin, but there is a few that God said was an abomination. You know what one of those was? One of those was this, sodomy. That he said that is an abomination. But you know what else he said was an abomination? He that soweth discord among the brethren. God puts you chattering your teeth about somebody else, God puts that in the same category of the way that he looks at a sodomite. It's quiet today, but it's right. That's what he says about it. So when we think about temptation, here's what we do, Brother Lloyd. Automatically, our mind runs to the big sins. Well, they're all sin. Every one of them. How can we overcome them this year?